From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Go, Take Your Property. The text is found in Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 21. Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord the God of thy fathers hath said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. There is a heritage of grace which we ought to be bold enough to win for our possession. All that one believer has gained is free to another. We may be strong in faith, fervent in love, and abundant in labor. There is nothing to prevent it. Let us go up and take possession. The sweetest experience and the brightest grace are as much for us as for any of our brethren. Jehovah has set it before us. No one can deny our right. Let us go up and possess it in His name. The world also lies before us to be conquered for the Lord Jesus. We are not to leave any country or corner of it unsubdued. That slum near our house is before us, not to baffle our endeavors, but to yield to them. We have only to summon courage enough to go forward, and we shall win dark homes and hard hearts for Jesus. Let us never leave the people in a lane or alley to die because we have not enough faith in Jesus and His gospel to go up and possess the land. No spot is too benighted. No person so profane as to be beyond the power of grace. Cowardice begone, faith marches to the conquest.
Here am I, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me. Unto thee.
In this day of many uncertainties, the political unrest, widespread violence, and moral confusion, people are asking, what is it all about? What does life mean, or does it have any meaning? Thankfully, there is one place where despairing men, women, and young people can find the answers to those questions: the Holy Bible, God's inspired, inerrant Word. The Apostle Paul, speaking of the gospel, wrote, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." He was referring to the righteousness that God gives to sinners on the basis of Christ's death on the cross. A medical doctor who found life's answer in Christ has written a brief summary of the central teaching of the Bible in a booklet called The Meaning of Life and the Love of God. In a few clearly written pages, he explains how sinners can find forgiveness and redemption in God's blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For a free copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, and we'll be happy to provide it. For many weeks now, Dr. Cairns has been preaching a series of messages from the Epistle to the Romans. In the first 2.5 chapters of the book, the Apostle Paul presented God's indictment of the human race for their sin and rebellion against him. With clear, incisive arguments, Paul portrayed the hopeless condition of mankind and the inevitable judgment of God that hung over their heads like an executioner's sword. With verse 21 of chapter 3, the book takes a dramatic turn as Paul says, "But now." Those two remarkable words herald the good news of salvation. God has provided the means of redemption from sin and its awful consequences in the sending of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here is Dr. Cairns to introduce a message entitled, "But Now, the Hinge of History."
Tonight we're reading in chapter 3, Reading a brief section, verse 21 to the end of verse 26. Romans chapter 3, verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Finishing the reading at verse 26, the Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. This Bible reading commences the second main section of the epistle to the Romans. Let me very quickly refresh your memory. The chapter 1, 16 and 17 state for us Paul's great theme that he's going to be expounding throughout this epistle. And that theme I have summed up in one sentence that says what Paul is really seeking to do in this epistle. The theme of Romans 1, 7, 16 and 17, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The theme of that is that the revelation that God has provided, a perfect righteousness in Christ for guilty sinners, on the ground of which they are justified by faith without any works of merit of their own. That revelation is a glorious and powerful message for the whole world. Now that's what Paul's expounding. He commences in chapter 1, verse 18, with a section that reaches through to the end of verse 20 in the third chapter. The theme here is sin and death by nature in Adam. The gospel denounces the guilt of sinners. Paul has just said, in the gospel is revealed the righteousness of God. Now he shows the need for such a righteousness. A desperate need it is. Throughout the rest of chapter 1, he explores and expounds the spiritual and the moral state of the Gentile nations and shows how deeply they have fallen into sin. Then in chapter 2, He comes around to deal with the Jews, and that stretches through the 8th verse of chapter 3, showing that despite all their advantages, having the written law, the word of God given to them by men inspired of God, having all the advantages, yet they were without God. They were deep in sin. They were equally guilty. Then you have that great section, chapter 3, verse 9 to verse 20, where he draws it all together and he shows us that the whole world, as he says in verse 19, the whole world is guilty before God. And verse 20 says, by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in God's sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. In other words, the law of God can convict you of your sin, The law of God can condemn you for your sin, but what it cannot do, it cannot ever save you from your sin. It can never justify the ungodly. So that's the first section. Now in verse 21 of chapter 3, he commences this second major section of the epistle. Here the general theme will be righteousness and life by grace in Jesus Christ. In the first section, the gospel denounces the guilt of sinners. In this great section, the gospel announces the grace of the Savior. Here Paul is showing God's way of meeting man's need for a perfect righteousness. Now obviously, verse 21 is the first verse in this section. But now, the righteousness of God without or apart from the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. I'm not going to go any further than that verse tonight. In fact, I may not even get through that verse tonight. It is a huge verse, even though it is so simple to read, and even so brief that we could memorize it in a matter of seconds. Here Paul picks up on some of the key elements of his great thematic statement in chapter 1 and verse 17. There he said, in the gospel is revealed the righteousness of God. Here again, he's picking up the theme of the righteousness of God. In chapter 1:17, he spoke of it being revealed. And here again, though he uses a different verb, and I think there's significance in that, it's almost synonymous. He's again dealing with the revealing of this righteousness to the world. Now, I want you to look at 3:21 tonight. I want you to consider it very carefully. But now, the righteousness of God without or apart from the law is manifested or has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. As Paul deals with this great subject of this text, what he's doing is laying down a doctrinal statement. And this doctrine is crucial to the entire epistle to the Romans. God has now, and underline that word because we're going to pay particular attention to it tonight. God has now revealed a way for sinners to be righteous in his sight without any personal obedience to law. And the law itself, with all the Old Testament scriptures, bears witness that this is the only way of salvation. He has revealed a way for sinners to be righteous in God's sight without any personal acts of obedience on their part. And the law itself and the prophets, they all get together to say, amen. This is from Genesis to Malachi. Now we can add from Matthew to Revelation. This is the only way that God has of saving sinners. Now, in working out that statement, Paul deals with three important aspects of the gospel revelation, and we're going to seek to attend to those tonight. Sometimes it's good to give a roadmap. I'm going to be very kind to my old brother. I should have given him a roadmap how to get to our house. Done him all the good in the world. Of course, he had a cell phone. He could just have called. He did call after meandering halfway around the world, getting within half a mile of where we live, and then going round and round and round and round in circles. It's good to have a roadmap, know where you're going. If you read Mr. Spurgeon's sermons, he almost always gave a roadmap of where he was going in a text. So these three important things I will set before you. First of all, he deals with the time of the gospel revelation, but now. Now. Then he deals with the theme of the gospel revelation, which is the righteousness of God apart from the law. And then he deals with the testimony to the gospel revelation, which is the law and the prophets, the voice, unitedly, of the Old Testament scriptures. Now that's a lot to get through in one lifetime, never mind one night. So we're going to take the first thing, and we'll see how far we get this evening. The time of the gospel revelation of the righteousness of God without the law. But now. Now I want you to watch something very carefully when you're reading the Apostle Paul. For Paul, time always was divided into then and now. His mind always seemed to revert to that dichotomy, then and now. When you read his writings, you'll find he used this division to trace the saving grace of God in his own life. Read, for example, in Galatians chapter 1, and you'll find him giving a word of testimony. He loved to give us testimony. Maybe we could learn something from him there. Paul was always ready to give us testimony. And as he looked back at what he was, then he came to a point in time. It was the changing point for his entire life and destiny. But when it pleased God to reveal his Son in me. Then he went on to tell about his life and service in Christ. In other words, he said, that was then. I was a Jew. I was this. I was the other thing. That was then. But now, after God has revealed Christ in me, after God has saved me by his grace, this is now, and it's totally different from then. For Paul, there was that point of change, that focal point of his entire life, and he used the then and the now to describe it. He uses the same then and now outlook to describe the complete revelation and of God to people in their sin, and then the complete revolution that that revelation causes. When you look in Ephesians chapter 2, you find he says, you were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, etc. There you are, dead, depraved, darkened in sin. But verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love when he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you were saved. Made us rise up and sit together in heavenly places in Christ. A little further in that chapter, he says to the Ephesians, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles according to the flesh, called the uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, but now in Christ. You see, for Paul there was always then and now. That's how you describe the Christian life. In fact, in many ways you could say that's what defines being a Christian. There is a them, born in sin, shaping in iniquity, serving the lusts of the flesh, and following the devil. But thank God there is a now, a mighty transformative now, a mighty intervention of grace that deals with the them, changes the then sinner into a now saint of God. That's what defines a Christian. Christianity is not something you're born with. Sin is what you're born with. Christianity is the revelation of saving grace that deals with the situation that then you were in and brings you into a new relationship, a new state, a new standing. By the grace of God, wherein the old sin is dealt with, you're brought right into a new relationship with God. Then and now.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.